Hello, my name's Mike Talty and I work at Microsoft in the UK. And this is one of a number of videos around a technology called PRISM, sometimes known as the Composite Application Guidance. This comes from the Microsoft Patterns and Practices team and largely targets building Silverlight and WPF applications. But you can use some of the techniques and the pieces delivered outside of those spaces. So you kind of get two things with PRISM. You get some documentation and you get some libraries in the form of source code that you can build up for WPF or Silverlight. And as I say, you don't have to use these inside of those kinds of applications, but some of the technologies in PRISM are specific for UI work with these two technologies. PRISM has a friend called Unity, which is another framework, and we'll talk about that as well in these videos. And in terms of finding these things, if you want to find PRISM and so on, if you just pop to a search engine, type in PRISM and CodePlex and you'll find PRISM. If you want to find Unity, type in Unity and CodePlex and you'll find Unity. If you want to find these videos, you can go to channel9mstn.com/niners/mtalty. That's me, and I'll put these videos on this site here. If you want to find me, you can go to mtalty.com. That's my blog, and you'll find it there. If you want to find me on Twitter, you can go to twitter.com/mtalty, and you can find me on there as well. And if you want to find me on email, I'm just mtalty@microsoft.com. Okay, so in video 5 here, what I want to do, and I guess it's about time really, is move over to Silverlight. So we've been playing around with some of the conceptual stuff in console applications to do with calculators and so on. And that was really just around getting some ideas around, in there around Unity and around dependency injection and around modularity in PRISM. But let's move over to Silverlight. Now, things change a little bit when we wander into a Silverlight project, but we'll figure that out as we go along. And really, the purpose of this video is just to get us into a point where we've actually got some PRISM stuff, effectively, perhaps as far as we've been so far, up to this sort of point of modularity, into a Silverlight application. And then we can start to flesh that out a little bit as we go along. We'll see how we get on, though. Maybe we'll move a bit further than I'm planning in video 5. But we'll see how we get on as we do it. So let's close down Notepad. Save that. Oh, sorry. Let's not save that. Let's move along. Okay, so let's launch up Visual Studio. And inside of Visual Studio, let's make a new application. Let me just get VS on the screen. A bit sluggish this morning. And let me press New Project in here. So make a brand new Silverlight application. So just wander along. And we'll choose a Silverlight application. And that's fine. Silverlight application for... Let's change the name on this. Let's call me My Demo Application or something like that. And it's just a regular app. And I'll put it into a website. Okay, that's fine. And of course, like you always get with Silverlight project in Visual Studio, by default, you get a website project and you get a Silverlight project that goes hand in hand with that. And let me just close all these things down that Visual Studio has just put on my screen. Let me just get rid of these things. Okay. They can all go, and let's pop out the Solution Explorer for a moment. So there we are in our new solution, Silverlight application, app.xaml, mainpage.xaml, and then the website that actually makes use of that. No, so that's fine. And so let's try and get this to the point where we've got a couple of modules and an application, kind of like we had with our calculator example. We had an application and four or so supporting modules. Let's try and get the Silverlight project to the point where it has an application and perhaps two supporting modules. So I'm going to hack around with this a little bit. We're not going to be quite perfect at this point. We'll move it and progress as we go through videos. I'm going to get rid of this mainpage.xaml. I'm not going to use that for now. We'll keep app.xaml because right now it's kind of handy in that it's providing an application startup place, although clearly now I don't have any root visuals, so we'll get rid of that for a second, just so that the project will still compile. In terms of the modularity stuff that we looked at with the console application, we built modules, we dropped them into a folder, and then we explicitly told the modularity framework in PRISM where those modules lived. So we just said, hey, there's a module, it's of this type, and it lives in this assembly here in this folder. In Silverlight, we don't have the same options necessarily around configuring that module catalog. So there are different ways of configuring the module catalog in Silverlight, but primarily there's two ways. One is that we can configure it through code. So we can create a module catalog and then write explicit code to populate it. I'm not a huge fan of that kind of thing. Or we can write a XAML file, a declarative way of configuring the catalog. You remember in the console app, we could do it both of those two ways, but we could also do it via a configuration file, and we could also do it by populating it from all the files that live in a particular folder. So we lose a couple of ways when we go to Silverlight. Also, in terms of how you package your modules, you can either package them as assemblies, just have them as extra assemblies that get lumped into your main ZAP, or you can actually have them in separate ZAPs, potentially on separate websites. And so what I'll do here is build my modules as separate ZAPs. We'll kind of work that way. So let's add a couple of additional things into this solution in the first instance. My modules. Let's go and add a new project. It's going to be a Silverlight application. I'm going to call it Module A Project. So we're going to have a module called Module A, and we'll add that in there. Let's do that. And I don't need a test page that references it, and I don't need that. But I will leave the host, the Silverlight application, because that'll mean that it'll copy the ZAP for me, which is kind of handy. So let's just do that. Great. So let's go to that ZAP. Let's go to that Silverlight project. And I'm not going to need an app XAML and a main page in there. It's just going to house some code for me. So I'll get rid of that stuff. And similarly, let's wander across and make a new one. So this is going to be, I guess, did we call it Module A Project? Let's call this Module B Project. So okay that. We don't need any of this stuff. It's already switched on, but I want it copied across. And I don't need an app.xaml. Hey, come back a second. There we go. Don't need an app.xaml and a main page. And everything's good. Now, in those projects, I want to use Prism libraries. So let's go and add some references to Prism libraries. Let's add reference. Let's go out and browse. And I think I'm going to do this commonly enough in this video that I'm probably going to want to copy some of these libraries. So we're now using the Silverlight versions of the Prism libraries, of course. Let's go into lib first, and let's go into Silverlight. And let's go to service location. Let me copy that one. I'm going to copy that. And maybe what I'll do is just bring up Windows Explorer and go to, let's call it C temp, and I'll make a new folder here. I'll call this assemblies, something like that, and just paste that in there. So that's that one. Let's go up a little bit. Let's go to Unity. Let's copy that one. Pop over to Explorer. Is that Explorer? And paste that there. Let's go to the library itself. Let's go into Silverlight. Let's go into Composite. Let's go into Bin. Let's get that. Let's copy that one. We've already got service location. Da, 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 da. Paste that in there. And let's go back up and probably the Unity extensions as well. Let's drop into there. And let's grab Unity extensions as well. And I possibly need this presentation assembly, so I'll copy that whilst we're here. And we'll just pop back over here and paste that in there. So I'm just putting those five assemblies in one kind of handy place. And just as a word of warning, I'm not going to be very careful about adding references to assemblies here. In Silverlight 3, you can actually put assemblies into separate zip files so that they only get kind of used, they only get packaged and downloaded once. I'm not going to do that here, so my code probably runs the risk of including multiple copies of the Unity DLL and the practices.composite DLL. I'm just not going to worry about that here, but just be aware of it. So let's now go to ctemp assemblies, which is going to be an easier place to go than all those different folders. And in here, I'm almost certain to want this. I probably want that. I probably want that. Not sure whether I want that or not, so let's bring it in anyway, just as a chance. So I brought that into Module A. Let's do the same thing with Module B. Do the exact same things. Composite, Unity, probably. And just for completeness, really, I'll bring them into my demo application as well. I'm not sure that I need all of these yet, but I'll just bring them all in so that I don't run foul of not having a reference. Okay, so we've added some references in there. Okay, so just like we did in our previous work with the console application, we probably want some kind of interfaces that we can implement in different modules and use from other modules. So let's go ahead and add a single interfaces library. So let's just go out and add a new one of those things. Okay, so let's just do add new project, and let's go for a class library here. Let's call that interfaces project. Let's throw that in. And what we want in there is a public interface. I'll not worry too much about the name of the source file. Let's call this iTextService. And what that's going to do is have a method on it, string getText. So very simple. And let's also have another interface, iUIService. And put a method on that. Let's return a UI element. I'll call this getUI, something like that. So very simple. And we will want references from all these other projects to that, so let's just go and set that up. Let's add this one here. And finally, just for now, I'm going to add it into our application as well, so let's do that too. Okay, great. So we've got that reference to the interfaces project, and let's now write some implementations of those interfaces in our modules over here. So let's go to module A and add a class. Let's call this one textService.c#. And let's implement, let's just make that pop over there for a second. Let's implement iTextService in here. And we'll just return a piece of text. That's fine. So that's great, we've got a text service. And then let's go and go to our module B project and add an implementation here of UI service. So here's an implementation of that, which is going to be iUI service. And what we want to do is make this dependent on the text service. So let's say constructor here, iTextService, let's say text service. And we'll just keep that. So we'll say iTextService text service. And then we'll say that this.textService equals text service. And finally, in getUI, let's just return a piece of UI. So let's say a new text block where the text is set to textService.getText. Okay, so we're just using that text service to build a text block, essentially. Nothing more than that at the moment. Okay, so we've got those services. Just like we did in our console application, let's add some modules as well. So we'll go to add a class here. We'll call this one module A, and we'll implement iModule on that. And what we need to do is have a constructor here. We'll want the Unity container. Can't type. Let's call that container. Let's store it in a member variable. So just say this.container equals container. And let's say an initialization time, what we want to do is say container.register type of iTextService. And that will be our text service. Okay, so we just registered that type for this module. And similarly, over in module B, what we want to do is add a new class. This is called module B, module B.c#. And this will be an iModule as well. And what we want to do there is a similar thing, really. So I could almost copy and paste that code or write a base class. iUnity container, take the container, and we want to say jump to the top of the file by mistake. Let's have a container there, and let's just say this.container equals container. And let's also say that at initialization time, what we want to do is say container.register type of iUI service with UI services is what we implement here. So we have registered a UI service and a text service from those two modules. Okay, great. So what we need to do is go back to our main application, I guess, and start to do something around bootstrapping this process again. So if you remember how that worked in our previous code, we wrote a bootstrapping class. So let's go and add, let's go and add a new class into here. We'll call this My Bootstrapper. And this thing is going to be a Unity Bootstrapper, which means that we must override this create shell. Now, for the minute, I'm not going to work with the shell, so I'm going to say null again, like we did in our console application. We'll revisit this probably in the next video. I also want to override the creation of the module catalog, so let's override get catalog. Okay, great. And so what we want to do here is, as I said sort of at the start of the video, in the console application or a WPF application or a full .NET framework application, you have lots of different ways of populating the catalog. You can define one in code, so module catalog, just get hold of that thing, C equals new one of those, and then start to add modules and so on to it. So you can do that. You can also use a configuration module catalog. It won't be in the framework here. You also have that class, which we used in our example, to load from a config file. There's also a way of loading it from a XAML file. And there's also a way on the desktop of getting to load it from a set of files in a folder. In Silverlight, there's only two ways of doing it. You can populate it in code, or you can populate it from a XAML file. So here what we'll do is we'll populate from a XAML file. So we'll say module catalog dot create from XAML, and that wants a URI. So we'll say here's a URI, and we'll say module catalog dot XAML, and that'll be a URI kind dot relative. That's probably okay. So we now need this module catalog.xaml. So let's go to our project here. Let's add a new item, XML file, which we'll call module catalog.xaml. Let's just make sure that file... Let's make sure that file is set to be content, and I do not want it compiling. Okay, great. So that's that. We need to put in some configuration here. So rather than try and type it in, let me copy and paste that in. So let's just drop that in. So what this is saying is we've got a module catalog, and we've got a module here which is stored in module A project.xap. The module is called module A, and here's the type that actually provides the iModule implementation. Same thing here for module B.xap. Module name is module B, and the type that provides the implementation. Okay, so let's go back to our Bootstrapper class for a second. I think we've kind of sorted this one out, so it doesn't create a shell right now. We'll come back to that in a subsequent video. And it does populate that module catalog from that lump of XAML we were just looking at. Okay, that's great. Let's get some startup to the application. So we've got our Bootstrapper. I'm just going to hijack in this video the standard app class in Silverlight. And it has a startup event where you're supposed to populate the root visual with some UI. But we won't do that just yet. What we want to do is create one of our Bootstrapper classes. Let's call this Bootstrapper. There's a new one of those. And then say bootstrapper.run. Now, we kind of hit an interesting problem here that we will pretty much resolve as we head further through Prism. But for the simple example I'm doing here, where we haven't gone off into some other pieces of the framework, I have a sort of problem. What's going to happen here is when we do bootstrapper.run, as I'm sure you know, in Silverlight, everything is kind of asynchronous. And the modules that we've defined in our catalog here, there's two ways you can initialize these things. Initialization mode equals when available, i.e. as and when it shows up, or on demand, which is more explicit. You have to actually call a load function to get it to load. But it will still load asynchronously. So one of these is nice. On demand is great if you don't want to load some chunk of the app until, you know, some other bit of the app is already on the screen. So this lets you factor your application into some pieces that only load as and when they need. When available means that the Bootstrapper and the module manager will load them when it can, in dependency order, but you don't actually know when that's going to be because it's Silverlight and everything is async. And whilst you might be thinking that the modularity framework will fire some event at the point where all the modules that you've said when available on are actually available, it doesn't actually do that. Now, it doesn't really matter that much because as we delve off into other bits of the framework, we'll see that it doesn't really affect us that much. But because I'm trying to simplify things for this video, it kind of does affect me. So just calling bootstrapper.run means that my modules will load. I don't know when they'll load, but I need to know when they'll load so that I can set the root visual for the application based on the services that I've written. So how to get around this? Well, the simplest way for me to get around it is with a small hack for this video, which is to have another module. So let me throw another module into my main application. Because if I have another module and I make it dependent upon module B, then I know that my module won't initialize before module B is loaded, and I know that won't initialize before module A is loaded. So it kind of lets me chain things together. So into my application here, let's add a new class, and we'll call it main module, which is really a hack, but we'll throw it in anyway. And we'll say I want that to be an iModule, and we'll implement iModule here. And what we want to do, again, it's a bit of a hack, is at the point where this is initialized, which will be after module B and module A have loaded when we set up the dependencies, we want to say application, or maybe we want to say IUI service. And we'll need the Unity container, so let's go and add a constructor. Let's throw in the Unity container. Let's keep that. Let's say container, sorry, this.container equals container. And then what we can do is say IUI service equals UI service equals container.resolve for me an IUI service. And we'll know when we set up our dependencies in a minute that this will be the right time to do this. And then again, just a bit of a hack really, application.current.rootvisual equals UI service dot get me the UI, which in turn is going to call into the text service to get the text. So if we set up the catalog again. Let's just go to our catalog to add in another module, which we're just doing. Let's just paste in a piece of config here. So you can see I have one more module. It's the main module. It lives in this zap file. I'm not sure I actually need to specify the ref. And this module depends on module B, which itself depends on module A, which is up there. So we should, with that in place, be able to call through those various modules. Let's see what's happening. Let's put a breakpoint in initialize for this module. Let's see if we can get a breakpoint into initialize for this module. And let's see if we can get a breakpoint into this module for initialize. Let's press F5 and see what happens. Let me just check my main code. Yeah, it looks kind of okay. So again, this is not how we actually do things as we go on into following videos. Don't worry about these. They're just first chance exceptions from the debugger. Okay, great. We've landed in module A is getting initialized and registering its text service. We've landed in module B, which is initializing and registering its UI service, already having essentially a text service. And we've landed in the main module, which is asking for that UI service. It gets a UI service. It asks it for the piece of UI, which is just a UI element. And it puts that onto the screen with our Hello World. So possibly the lengthiest Hello World example you've ever seen. But hopefully you get the idea as to how we factored this down. Don't get too caught up into how we had to introduce that main module at the end there. That was a bit ugly. The rest of the idea is that module B provides a service and it depends on module A, which provides a service, but they're very loosely coupled once again, just like they were in the console application. Now, if you're starting to think at this point that wouldn't it be great if there was a way in which we could put services like the ones we've written here that provide functionality and or UI into separate modules and have some kind of framework that would magically find those pieces of UI, or at least allow them to register themselves and get them onto the screen without having to go through what I just went through here. And Prism includes such a service. It's factored out into something that it calls a shell consisting of regions and views. And what we'll do is we'll follow up in the subsequent video and have a look at that rather than trying to cobble something together like we did here. But the idea around modularity stands. So, you know, what we've learned around modularity coming from our console example into the Silverlight example, that still all stands. So don't think that's something that you need to throw out of your head. That's something I was trying to get into your head. The bit about we just cobbled together at the end, that's something that we'll move past as we head into another example. Okay, let me just pop that down.